think I gave myself a concussion. Like, I have like a bump and everything. And I went, well, this is what I get for cleaning.
This is why I refuse to clean. It's very dangerous. This is why I don't clean.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm Erica.
And I'm Ziva.
And today's episode is Men Are Messy, which is the 8th episode of the first season of I Love Lucy. It's directed by Mark Daniels and also co-written by Bob Carroll Jr., Madeline Davis, and Jess Oppenheimer, and originally aired on December 3rd, 1951.
This is a pretty self-explanatory synopsis of the stories, just in the name.
Yeah, just the title.
Pretty much, but, you know, so Lucy gets really tired of Ricky's messy habits, so she divides the apartment in half and so that he can be a slob on his half, but not hers. A slob. Yeah, unfortunately, Ricky is going to appear in a magazine spread, and the photographer is coming over to see the apartment. Oh.
Yeah, it's...
I feel like that's so broad. I mean, it's good, but like it gets more fun. I have to say, men are messy, but I feel like everyone's messy, and they're just like, because Colin is, I'm messy. Okay, clothes. I'm really bad at clothes. I just like throw them on the floor.
He's just like this robe and this like,
in my bedroom,
just in the living room. Dinner, Christmas dinner. Siva's had enough.
Give me my milk.
Oh my god! I guess overall, listen. If especially if we're talking about the '50s, there's always going to be stereotypes, no matter what is, you know, the most mundane of activities that are happening. So, you know, women are bad with money and men are messy. That's kind of what we get from I Love Lucy.
I wrote this down, but, you know, I know we talked about how I just will go, oh my goodness, this one has been super exaggerated, because in all the episodes we've seen so far, Ricky has never been this messy.
Yeah.
And even if, you know, Lucy comes in and cleans after him, you still see him walk in to the.
Yeah, it was beyond exaggerated. I mean,
walk in to the.
We'll get into it, but yeah, the way
he just throws things about, you know, and when they threw the banana peels on the ground, I was like,
which has never happened before or since, just a random banana.
Who even do that? Like,
what kind of animal are we talking?
Except for maybe Apollo, my son, like,
and even he gets reprimanded right away.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So this episode is actually based on the Lucy radio show, of course, My Favorite Husband, episode 91, George is Messy, which was broadcast June 5th, 1950. So much like most of these are you know, inspired by or pretty much taken from the My Favorite Husband radio show. This was also based on that. So it's exaggerated, like you mentioned, but I guess that's kind of the whole point of the show. Otherwise it'd be very boring, but I mean, much like her, her reaction to it is beyond something that even I wouldn't do, but we'll get into it.
Okay. So before we even get into the beginning of the episode, I mean, I guess it's the very beginning when she's cleaning up. You know that clock on their wall?
It's like an octagon?
Tollware wall clock. It's the brand name of it, Tollware wall clock. And if you see it in color, it's like red with gold. And I looked for that clock because I've always really liked that clock. I think it's super cool. And I looked for it. From basically what I can tell, you can get something similar from like $200 to $1,000.
Am I correct in saying it's the octagon looking one, kind of like a stop sign?
Yeah, I think it's like a clock barometer mix.
It kind of reminds no, this is the one that she uses to hide the money when she's doing like the experiment with the bald men. She hides money behind the clock. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, when she gets the money that's
the $100
emergencies.
Yes, yeah. It's behind the clock. Okay. So you looked that up, and where did you find that? Like eBay?
Yes. So if you just look up like Tollware wall clocks, that's kind of how I found it. And then it took a lot more searching from there to find out that it was a barometer clock mix.
Interesting.
So, yeah. But eBay seems to be the place that it's mostly. So not surprising.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like they make them anymore.
So this one, when they first start up, the opening scene, of course, is her cleaning up. You know, she's got the feather duster and she's cleaning up the apartment. And she does what I think, I mean, I do this. I don't know if you do this, but I'm guessing the majority of people who clean up do this, which is after you're done cleaning up, you're satisfied with yourself and you're about to exit the room. You turn around and look at your accomplishment of what you just...
Yeah, you're like, oh, this looks nice.
look at me. Look what I just did.
Pat on the back.
So yeah, it was kind of cute to watch her do that. She's got the feather duster. She's so proud of how clean the apartment is, which of course sets it up for disaster a few moments later.
Yeah. You know, when they set up something like that, it's going to
go downhill.
Have a complete opposite. And I'll talk about that in a little bit more, even with Fred. But I just want to say, everyone listening, that cleaning can be dangerous.
Oh,
I don't know if I told you this, Erica, but a few days ago, I was cleaning up this area because Apollo is going to be more mobile now.
Okay.
And I wanted to get his shoes into the closet so he didn't lose them. And they're under our bookshelf. So I went to go pick them up and I slammed my head into the bookshelf.
Oh no.
And I think I gave myself a concussion. Like I have like a bump and everything. And I went, well, this is what I get for cleaning.
This is why I refuse to clean. It's
this is
very
why I
dangerous.
Don't clean. Yeah.
Wow. And it's one of those moments where you, after it happens and you come to, you're probably asking yourself, how? It's just
me. Because you wouldn't be able to do it
again
if you tried to do it.
Or explain it to
exactly.
someone.
Yeah. Oh, Colin was right there. He heard it and he went, you just hit your head, didn't you? And I went, yep. Yes, I did.
He's screaming from the next room. Are you good? Yeah, I'm good. All right.
Yeah.
It's when he doesn't hear you that he's calling 911.
Are you good? And there's no answer.
Wow. That's why we don't
clean. Okay. This is why we don't clean. So yes, he comes in and it's just extra dramatic. She's cleaned it all up and he just is throwing things everywhere. I mean, who looks for papers that way? I feel like I look.
It's very excessively dramatic the way he comes into that apartment and just destroys it in 2 seconds.
Destroys it. And I feel like when he's looking through the papers, I went, that is how I look through something when I have been looking for something for like 45 minutes.
And you've had enough.
I'm at my wit's end.
Yeah.
And I'm just like throwing things around. But not when he first come in. It's been 2 seconds.
And he doesn't look upset. He just looks like
no,
this
he's
is
just
normal.
Throwing things around.
And so, he comes in and he disrobes because he's got layer after layer. Yeah, he's you. He's layer after layer of clothing just on the floor, on the couch, on the little desk chair. And like you said, he's rumbling through the desk for papers of some kind. And the way he looks for it is like, it's like his Neanderthal who's never seen paper before. So he's got his, you know, his mitts trying to figure out how to maneuver these things called paper and throws it everywhere. And then you mentioned earlier the banana thing, which was...
Oh, that doesn't happen yet. But like, oh
no.
I hated that. Okay, so there's so much about this one. I'm like, okay.
I knew this was going to elicit
that can't be serious.
Emotions from Ziva. I knew this episode would do it for you. Wow.
I also love, so he sits down and Lucy comes out and you can see automatically, you know, she's like, oh, hi. Oh,
yeah.
Frick. Like yeah. All of this work. Now, I feel like if I had spent all day cleaning and Colin came in and ruined it in 3 minutes, I would be annoyed. Like, you're cleaning this up, because I just spent a good portion of the time cleaning it up.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I can get where she's coming from that. But
it was very dramatic and unnecessary. Very dramatic. But
yes,
after he's laying there in all his glory, after having disrobed and still has clothes on, which is baffling, yes, to know how much he was wearing that day to the club, she comes in kind of, you know, upset and trying to figure out what is happening. And what I find interesting is that, you know, they do have their places, the wife and the husband, very stereotypical, but she gets a little punchy, you know, when he says, this is my castle, you know, and his home is this castle. And she says, oh, what does she say? Forgive me, my, you know, my king,
my lord,
or something like that. Yeah. You know, I bow to you, king of the slobs. It's like the sarcasm tone is all right. Get it, girl. But at the same time, it's kind of opposite of what you're trying to reflect, which is kind of a you know, very demure, submissive wife, but she's anything but.
Yeah. So,
and then of course she explains what a coat closet is.
Yes, you know,
because he asks her to hang up the clothing because God forbid he do it himself. So yeah, she explains what a coat closet in and he closet is, and he explains that the home doesn't look messy, it looks lived in. Yeah.
And there is something to be said about having a home that looks lived in and one that's like a museum.
Yeah.
But there's also that's past lived in and more into slobdom.
And that's what was happening here.
So yeah. So during all this, Ricky, you know, he read the newspaper and then he saw the magazine with
the Tom Dorsey
of someone. Tom Dorsey, okay,
yeah, mm-hmm.
Tom Dorsey's house.
It was Tom Dorsey at home?
At home, you know, it's really cool. We could probably with this one post some of like the actual photo shoots that Lucy and Desi did, you know, at home,
right? Yeah,
for for real, outside of I Love Lucy. But, you know, Ricky says, I've been trying to get into this, or, you know, get it. I love her line. We're just like, wait, what is going to be in Better Homes and Garbage?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be Ricky Ricardo at home. And he was in the magazine she's looking at is the Half Beat magazine, which is a musician's magazine. And like we mentioned, was Tommy Dorsey, who was a American jazz trombonist, composer, conductor, and band leader of the big band era. So that's what he's wanting to have, you know, also have that spread. And that's when she says that line, better home and garbage. But that's where the mix-up goes later on during the episode about which magazine it is that is actually taking the pictures of his home.
Yes. So she's finally like, all right, you know what? We're going to divide this apartment in half. She divided it really strangely. I mean,
I love that she just all, had that white sofa. Tape.
Hello, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it was ribbon, but whatever it was, she just had it handy,
yeah,
of course.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like she didn't think it through because, again, bathroom on his side, bedroom on his side,
and she gets the kitchen.
the kitchen, really, and half of the living room, and not even the nice comfy half of the living room.
Yeah, you should get this chair.
Yeah, the desk. So they divide it, and then that's when they decide to have a cigarette.
Yes, and of course, and it's in the middle.
Yes, and that's that line where she says, "I'll have Philip, you can have Morris." And they actually cut out that line for a while. Well, from airing once Philip Morris wasn't their sponsor, but they put it back in with the DVD release. So,
yeah, it's interesting to see those little tidbits that they cut out, because it adds, you know, a few seconds to it, but then you see the way it was cut, how it goes from them getting the cigarette to suddenly sitting there, which feels like a long period of time, but it wasn't, because it was just cut from removing the ad from the episode, you know.
Yeah. So then Fred and Ethel come up, they get a phone call, Fred and Ethel come up, and did you notice what Fred was wearing?
He was exceptionally fancy for hanging out in the apartment building.
This is like the most I've ever seen him.
Because of course he
probably will ever.
Yeah, because of course he needs to disrobe later, as we saw Ricky do. But
yeah, they needed to have that.
Because Ethel's in the regular house clothing, and he's got this fancy tie. He's got a coat. Out
gambling.
Yeah. Looks like he just went on a date or something. Yeah,
but not with Ethel.
Not with Ethel, no, because she's dressed like she's just in a house dress, you know. But
yeah.
So they come in looking confused as to what's going on, and they explain that about the messy situation. Of course, Fred doesn't see it; he sees it as lived in.
Mm-hmm. So he obviously chooses Ricky's side, and that's when he starts disrobing. And I love when he's trying to like fold up his shirt, his jacket, and Ricky takes it and throws it on the ground.
Yeah, because he's very delicately trying to clean it up and fold it and put it on the side, and he grabs it and just lets it fall out of the ground. And Ethel watches as it falls, and the look of just disgust on the two women is just comical.
Yes. So of course we get to watch that grossness, and I say grossness because that's when they're eating bananas and throwing the peels on the ground, and
so random. And see, Ricky Ricardo doesn't give that image. There's only to set up for an episode, much like that feature episode where he's got that old Havana sweater, you know, and she's trying to give it away to the thrift shop or something like that. So he's dirty then, just to set up the storyline for that day. So usually he's very pristine, very clean, always in a suit, because he works in a nightclub.
So one of my favorite parts of this episode is when they're on the phone and Ricky's listening and speaking, and saying it back. So Ricky actually makes a mistake. He gets his words a bit jumbled when he's like, you know, you've been promising me a spread and half note Beat magazine since last
February.
Explain that if you can. And Lucy, though, she copies the February and explain that if you can, cuts out the half note, because he said half note instead of half beat.
Yeah.
And so she cuts off that little like flub there and just says it correctly.
So he's speaking to his agent Kenny, and so that was Desilu's actual public relations director, Morgan Kenny, who was married at the time to Lucio Ball's cousin Cleo, and worked for Desilu. So that's a fun little fact. And after they figure that, it's they seem to be wanting to go on forever with dividing the apartment. So the next morning, of course, it cuts to him being at the club and singing. So somehow he exited the apartment from her side. And it cuts to him singing about the straw hat.
I love this.
The song.
And actually, it was just the dance and that he is singing to the, oh, I have her name.
Maggie, the cleaning lady.
Yeah. And I find it very sweet and endearing.
That is played by Hazel Boyne, is Maggie, the cleaning lady.
Yes. She played Minnie Finch's neighbors, the passenger in the great train robbery. And just a teeny bit, she was a former dancer, born on Independence Day, 1883, and was 68 years old when this episode was filmed.
Wow. Yeah, that must have been real neat for her to be in that episode. But so he sings that, and of course that's when he gets told that he's going to do a Ricky Ricardo at home. His agent finally got him something. So of course he doesn't assume that it's the music one. They do tell him, I think, that it's Look magazine. But when he has to call and tell Lucy to clean up the apartment, she mistakenly thinks it's for the Musicians magazine.
Oh, did we? So we didn't talk just a teeny bit. The Ricky song is the Straw Hat song.
Yes.
It's a song that Desi Arnaz wrote. Was introduced by him in the 1949 film Holiday in Havana. And so at the very beginning of the episode, he's whistling the song when he comes home from the club. And he also performed it, this specific song, in the 1955 film Forever Darling, as well as in the 1967 episode of his sitcom The Mother-in-Laws. With his son Desi Arnaz Jr. playing the drums. So we
need to do a breakdown of Forever Darling. And I think we've discussed this and the Long Long Trailer.
Yes. Yes. That'll be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Yes. The agent comes in and you're right. He says, you know,
that they have a spread for the magazine. So yes, he calls Lucy. And so she's, of course, always gossiping on the phone, so she can't be reached. And it's always Marge, if you listen enough. It's always her same friend Marge that she gossips for hours and hours. And I don't have a friend that I can watch. Well, stop there. I don't have a friend.
Wow. I'm a chopped liver. That's fine.
I don't have a friend that I can gossip to. I mean, I can talk to this with you for hours and hours until, you know, you're asleep and I'll still be going. But I mean, to gossip, you know, because that's what they're trying to tell you is that she's gossiping for hours so she can't be bothered. But I don't think I could do that for hours and hours. Yeah. Gossip.
I don't know. I have a friend, quite a few friends that I can talk on the phone to for hours. But I don't know. We don't gossip. It's usually just like catching up on life and talking about other things. So I don't know. But here's a little rundown. Marge is played by Charlotte Lawrence. And she is being talked to. Lucy is talking to her in the gossip, redecorating the Mertz's apartment. Ricky's screen test, and then we meet Marge for the first time in No Children Allowed, and the homecoming is where she's played by Charlotte Lawrence. And then just a little, this character specifically is pulled over from My Favorite Husband, which is based off the character named Marge Van Tassel. Uh-huh. Tassel. So just fun stuff.
So of course, Ethel comes in trying to say that Ricky's been trying to get a hold of you to make sure that you keep the place clean, because a photographer's coming, you know, he wants it all perfectly cleaned up, all of it. And so of course, when it's important for him, she says he wants it clean, but when she wants it clean, he can't be bothered. So she can't leave well enough alone. She can't just leave it alone, clean the place and move on. She has to make it a pigsty.
Right. Or even just, you know, keep it the dirtiness that he had it, you know.
Not like, add to it.
See, yeah, I could see if it was like, all right, listen, I'm annoyed at him. I'm just gonna make that side be like, you know, it has to explain that. But no. She takes that down. And she talks about Tobacco Road.
Yeah. She says, welcome to Tobacco Road, which is a film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, in 1941 film. Which just so you know is a poverty-stricken Georgia sharecropper, Irvin Bacon, who would go on to play Ethel Mertz's father, Will Potter. Mm-hmm. He had a small role in the film.
Yeah, it's about it. I don't know a lot about that rural family. So really, the reason she says that's because it looks like a rural poor. A messy location, so that's why she says Tobacco Road. But so then of course they show up, and that's that, they being Ricky and the photographer, and the look on his face, his eyes are just ridiculously popped out of his head, which happens more times than we can count just based on being married to Lucy alone. But what's hilarious and gets me every time is this ridiculous bowl haircut that she she bust out with. It's so ridiculous with the bangs, you know, just really, really bad. And she's got her overalls on and she's scratching in places. And
yes, the overalls. And are those like fishing boots, like ones that you go out and fish like in the river while you're standing in the river?
Probably.
Yeah. It's like, interesting. Interesting. And then of course they go hunting in the bedroom. I mean.
Yeah. So he says, this looks like a regular pig pen. It's not a regular one, but it'll do. And then of course, much like that one episode we spoke of where random children appeared, where she was trying to recreate the childhood, random chickens appear just in a New York City apartment, you know? And so that happens.
And Ethel's on the line.
And Ethel's hanging in one of the pajamas, and she is Lucy's grandmother. And
I have to say, there's sometimes when she like plays a second character where she looks, they make different. Her look a little bit older.
Yeah.
But I feel like she still looked quite young in this one.
Yeah.
You know? Like I was like, she looks the same age. Can't be the grandma.
So of course that was, he's taking pictures left and right. And then, like you mentioned, they go hunting and they bring back again, the randomness of it all, a black bear that they hunted in the bedroom. And she does the Tarzan yell. And
biggest random, I'm so sorry, but biggest random elephant, baby elephant.
Yes.
It's the biggest, most random thing I can think of that she just brings out. And it's like,
that's from when she's a kleptomaniac, right? When she tries to steal
things.
When
Ricky thinks she's a kleptomaniac. Yeah. But yes. So they bring out this bear, she poses. And then that is when Ethel says something about this being in
the Musician's Magazine.
The Musician's Magazine, and Ricky going, this is for look, not for Half-Beat magazine.
Right. So of course it's a shame because it's a very glamorous, I suppose, magazine that he's actually photographing for. So, so she's upset that she did that, and cut to them getting a copy of the Look magazine, and it's her on the cover with that ridiculous outfit and the bowl haircut posing with the bear and the gun. And that wasn't her goal, but it sure happens. But it's a ridiculous episode, you know. It's
so funny,
you know.
I think so. We were talking that you know they were trying to get to Half Beat. I don't know that we mentioned this, but it's like a veiled reference, the more popular Downbeat magazine that was running at the time. And then about 2 years later, they got on the front cover of both Look and Downbeat magazine.
Yeah.
So
Lucy and Desi did. Right.
Lucy and Desi, not Ricky and
Lucy.
Lucy.
But yeah, this one was just, it felt like they needed an episode type of thing, because it was very exaggerated, but you know, still fun. Still gave you the bit of Desi's musical abilities and of course her comedic skills to throw in there. But yeah, it was fun. But like you said, it's hard to believe because he doesn't continue the messy streak afterwards. It's just for like the one episode.
And we see a similar white line episode of I Love Lucy. Can you think I'm sending
Are you saying in the Lucy franchise or elsewhere?
In the I Love Lucy series specifically.
Oh, the trivia of it all. No.
It's when they own the restaurant.
Oh, yes.
A little bit of Cuba and a big hunk of America. A big
hunk of America, yes. So, and they have to deliver the bomb pies. Like
going back and forth between.
I want 100 hamburgers, and he puts down $1.
$1. But you're right. It does also show up in other TV shows. In The Munsters, there was one, The House Divided, in The Simpsons.
I think it was a Jamie Foxx show that also used it and referenced it as an I Love Lucy thing to do, and there was some other foreign television show that does the same exact premise. But
Jamie Foxx, you were right, and then a 1991 film, Thick as Thieves, also had it where they cut the apartment in half. And then again, I need to find this. Guys, if anyone knows where to find this, please tell me. But the Polish remake called Kuchma Klara, I Love Clara, presented Men Are Messy People, which is pretty much the exact same. I mean, you read the synopsis for that episode, and it's pretty much the exact same synopsis. So I just feel like I really want to watch that, but I can't find it anywhere. So
maybe we will. Someone has it.
I just need to know
how close it was.
Obviously didn't do that great. So
well, I'm not up to my, my Polish TV show, so I have no idea.
Maybe they've got like seven seasons and we don't even know anything about it.
Somebody right now in Poland is reviewing on their podcast I Love Karen, or what's the name of the show?
Clara.
Somebody's reviewing the episodes of I Love Clara in Poland. But this one was fun, you know. And as we go, you know, as we go down the list of the episodes, they do get a little more creative, a little more funny. I think because this was the first season, it feels like they're just getting the ones from My Favorite Husband and just kind of tweaking it a bit. Whereas season two and on, you know, it's kind of more original, become more creative that way.
I almost feel like more things happen, you know, like in this, in this one, there were big chunks of, you know, specific scenes, you know, like
they don't leave their home too much.
A good, 5 minutes, which doesn't seem like a lot, but for a 25 minute episode,
yeah,
you know, for 5 to 10 minutes of it being Ricky playing,
Yes, it was the entire song.
In about 5 minutes. Like, that's a big chunk to have then, you know, and that. And so I feel like there was a lot of longer, simpler scenes that made up the first few episodes of the first season.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. I feel like they, as they start writing their own and getting more comfortable with who the characters are and, you know, what they want the show to be, it becomes, there's just more complexity, I feel like.
Yeah,
you
know, more like creativity, more
crawling
different
into
ideas.
Other people's apartments and pretending to be chairs and things like that.
Yeah. We'll get there. Pretending to be chairs.
Soon, but not that soon.
No, not too soon, but it's a good one. Yeah. And so with that, thank you guys for sticking around. We are nearing our 5,000 mark dev downloads, which is just crazy because I just listened back to, I don't even remember which one it was. We were celebrating 2,000. So from there on, people have picked up and listened to what we're doing.
What we're doing.
Yes. Pointing at the mic to this.
I'm glad someone's listening.
Yeah.
We haven't run everyone out yet.
No, it's been cool. It's been great. The type of connections and emails and visitors and things like that we've been able to, you know, get from people listening places. It's just really, really awesome. So yes. If you guys have any questions or comments or anything, you can leave it on our Instagram or Facebook or email havenaballpod@gmail.com.
Yes, and we would love to hear from you guys. Anything that you... So, yep, any questions or facts. And then even just suggestions of, like, spotlights. I'm not saying we will absolutely do them, but if there's, like, a guest star that's coming up that you're like, I really want to hear a spotlight on this person.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, if there's, like, a movie recommendation that we haven't talked about that you want us to do like a review on, then let us know and we can discuss doing that.
That would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks guys. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Yep. Bye.